Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Metroplex. They have let us out again. Last year, we could not have predicted the success of the 2023 Firehouse Tour, and we are trying to top it with stop number one, Garland Firehouse 3, 1301 North Jupiter Road. And we are brought to you by Firehouse Heating and Air. Palmer's Hot Chicken just pulled up with some of the merch and the Chill Boy, Sean Shreve, RJ Choppy, and Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. We have a final Stone Temple Pilots ticket giveaway coming up during the Expressway when we go commercial free. Got to give some shout outs real quick. A Twolo came out. Yeah. Mike Bassick would be proud. Ryan is proud. Carter would be proud. That was Eric. And he wanted to get his picture taken with Bobby Belt with the tongue out. Twolo T-shirt.
Every time. Yeah, that's a McKeever design shirt, I believe, a Twolo shirt. Mm-hmm. And so Jay McKeever makes those. And, Eric's come out to a bunch of different events before. He's EJL Viking. Can't even remember the order. I think it's EJL, not ELJ, but EJL Viking in the Twitch if you hang out and see him in there.
So this is now the second time in 2 weeks someone has come up to me and they're like, "Oh man, I wasn't expecting you to look like that." And this is Jerry Click, who I think said this for clicks, trolling me. And he came up and he's like, "Yeah, man, I was not expecting." And I was like, "What were you expecting?
Bigger beard?
Compliment or insult?" And he's like, "No, I thought you were gonna be this little tiny person." And I was like, "Okay, number one, you call me obese, and number two, are you saying that I have a lighter voice, like?" Not a deep, booming voice. He's like, "Yeah, you got a light voice." So two insults from Jerry. And then he tries to sweeten it at the end. He's like, "But congrats on your kid Monday." Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Those are pretty severe backhands.
Yeah.
Those are backhanded compliments. I wouldn't even say they're backhanded compliments. They're just backhands.
Like a Sagan backhand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Petrangelo. I thought that was a stick. Yeah, it's funny. One of the things I get a lot when we come out here is people are like, "I thought you were going to be shorter." I'm like, "Why is that the thing?" And I've been accused of that before. People always say, they're like, "You give off short guy energy," is the reason.
Yeah, people always say to me, I thought you were taller. And I'm like, "Yeah, so did I."
Yeah, it's your bluster. Your bluster gives off taller.
Yeah.
And
my spinal compression gives off shorter.
My bluster gives off, I guess they believe, short guy insecurity. And so they think that that's what it is. But I'm on a bad day. Solid 5'11".
Man, I was looking at
yes.
You're taller than that.
I'm 6". Like that's what I am. But like I mean, even the most like conservative of measurements generally say 5'11".
I was looking at old photos and I was like, when we started the show, I was like almost 2 inches taller than Sean, and now we're the same height.
Are you for real?
Yeah, yeah. It's my neck is like I've lost it, and I have to go to the chiropractor. And I get it stretched out. They put this thing around my neck, and they basically pull my neck.
They do like the Kyler Murray with his hands before the draft.
Well, it was Pickett, right? Pickett did that.
Yeah, well, I mean, a couple guys.
And I just lay down, and they're just jerking me.
Speaking
no Diddy.
Speaking of Sagan, Stars, Vegas. We got two game sixes tonight, and hopefully everyone can close out. Stars, Golden Knights, 9 o'clock puck drop on TNT. Stars are -115.
My buddy, one of my best friends from grade school even, is a Vegas season ticket holder, and he sold his tickets to this game. Sold them. Center ice. Sold all 6 of them. And he's like, yep, I think we're going to lose, but I'm going to get my money back for the entire series tonight. Can't make the game. And most Vegas fans, from what I've been hearing that he talks to, have resigned themselves to the fact that Dallas is the better team, which we already knew, but I love hearing this, they all see a direct parallel to last year's Vegas team that won the Cup. Defensively, the Stars have been tremendous. They're kind of mimicking what Vegas they say what Vegas did last year. And the fact is, the Stars really have 4 lines that are as consistent as any. Now, they may not have Connor McDavid or Jarrett McKinnon, but they've got tremendous players up and down those lines. They are so steady, so deep, and the last three games have shown why they are the one seed in the West.
I'm sitting right next to Bobby since we're out doing the remote, and I had to – I knew what website he had pulled up.
Moneypuck.com. Which, the projection tonight, RJ Choppy says 51% chance Vegas wins this one.
Wow, what a hot bull take. What a crazy website.
They've been right
50-50.
Before. They have been right before Sean Sharif, all right? They have nailed all the other games, mainly because theirs are kind of like analysis, and their analytics look backwards rather than forward. I don't know. I've never looked at their actual previews, but that's what they're saying tonight.
How many times, Bobby, this is a stat assignment for you. Mm-hmm. How many times has a team just ripped off four straight after losing the first two at home? I wonder how many times in NHL history that has taken place, because winning four straight, like, you'd think law of averages would get Vegas one more in the series. But game six is this evening, and then, of course, game six at the AAC. So you're going to have to figure out how to split these two up if you want to double dip. If you're not at a bar, what are you going to do? Because it's 8:30 with the tip at the American Airlines Center as the Mavs hopefully send the Clippers home. Kawhi is out.
Yeah, it's, you know, I will be trying to get both in. I will be out. I will be out tonight. So we'll
what
be at
doing?
A place. We're just gonna go to a restaurant and then go to a bar. So we'll be able to watch the games.
Notice he doesn't want to say what it is, though. He doesn't want us coming, Sean.
No, he doesn't want to give out free advertising and get yelled at.
How'd you know?
I get emails.
You get the talk.
I get memos.
So I'm gonna go. So we're gonna go out and we'll watch. We'll have the ability to watch both games. That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it on a when you can. You know, you watch it at home. What happens is if I try to watch both games at the same time at home, I will get on one game and I'll be into it and I'll just completely forget about the other one.
Well, that's why you get the picture-in-picture, okay? You get the streaming service that actually has the multi-view. That's what you got to do,
Chuck.
I've
got to memorize new channel numbers, and it's just a pain. I'd rather overpay.
You don't even have to worry about channel numbers. It's all alphabetically listed by channel name. It doesn't even have numbers anymore, Chuck. Come on.
877-881-1053 is the way to hit us up, and that's the number to call as well during the expressway for our final Stone Temple Pilots ticket giveaway. That is coming up at 7:20. Dak Prescott is not facing criminal charges. The Dallas Police Department said, nope, we see no reason to pursue, so that is not happening with DPD and Dak over the sexual assault allegations. We'll talk to Mike Florio about it at 8 o'clock this morning from ProFootballTalk.com. But we got some NFL power rankings.
Yes, we do.
Post-NFL draft power rankings, and these come from NFL.com, so you know they're legit. You know that this is basically the propaganda coming straight from the league telling you which teams are good and which are not. Not a lot of movement post-draft. Here's what you got from the previous power rankings. Same position for the top four. Kansas City 1, San Francisco 2, Baltimore 3, Detroit 4. Who moved up to number 5? Why, that would be your Philadelphia Eagles. Russell, W.I. Payton.
Howie winning the media power rankings.
That's what they say. Look, it's Nick Wright doesn't have a lot of great takes, but one of them is that the only reason why people say he wins the draft every year is just because he basically like looks to the media to draft for him. Then you have the Houston Texans moving up to number 6. They are up a spot. Interesting fall, I thought, here for the Buffalo Bills. This is following the Stephon Diggs trade and also what they did in the draft. They fall down to number 7.
Starting to worry about my Josh Allen take a little bit. Starting to worry. Not that their window is closed, but it's like, okay, if he's truly elite, then they should still be in a contender conversation. Starting to worry a little bit.
I bet they have one more run here. I mean, moving Diggs and them getting older is – it seems like we forget before the whole story came out from Ty Dunn about, oh my gosh, Sean McDermott had given this speech talking about how brave like the 9/11 hijackers were or whatever it was.
Yeah, very brave.
That like after that, we thought that was going to be the end of them. They were spiraling at that moment, and they rallied around it, and they like played well to end the season. And so they've got a really weird dynamic there in terms of like their locker room chemistry. Number 8 is the Green Bay Packers. Number 9, the Cincinnati Bengals. And then finally, rounding out the top 10, the Dallas Cowboys. Says they had an interesting draft. No defensive tackle until round 7, which I told you they weren't going to do. I told a lot of people that. Nobody wanted to listen. And no running back at all, but a clear emphasis on bolstering an offensive line that's in transition.
What did you tell us that we didn't listen to?
I didn't say necessarily you. There were a lot of people that didn't listen to me when I said they weren't going to take a defensive tackle in the first 2 days.
Yeah.
But, you know, people have their takes, and we protect some of them.
Don't be arrogant.
I know I won't.
Don't make me shut down.
This is the difference. Pete Briscoe's from CBS's. He does have the same four as the NFL. Chiefs, Niners, Ravens, Lions. At number 5, the Buffalo Bills.
Oh,
at number 5.
Back in.
And they say the write-up is they will be a different team in 2023. Josh Allen's still the quarterback. That's why they're still the best in the East. The Packers at 6.
Strong. I think we're forgetting Packers were a 500 football team all of last year.
They were totally 7-2 down the stretch. Is that what they were, 7-2 down the stretch?
We're totally forgetting it.
Yeah.
You got to think that the Packers, if they played the Cowboys neutral field 5 times, what would you pick for the series?
3-2 Green Bay.
3-2 Green Bay.
Yeah.
Bob?
5, I'm picking 3-2 or 4-1 Dallas.
Okay.
Like last year's team. This year, with some of the departures they've had, I don't know.
I'd probably go 3-2 Cowboys last year's team as well, even though Will McClay wanted to double down and say that they're better than last year with KMC.
They down the stretch, Green Bay beat the Rams, they beat the Lions on the road, they beat the Chiefs, and then they beat the Cowboys.
Wow.
They were good. They were solid. 7 is the Bengals.
They had San Fran, too.
8 is Houston. Man, I wonder if Houston's in for a little bit of a down.
Boy, you've been marrying to that take early, and I think that's bold.
Well, they have a first-place schedule now as opposed to a last place. So that does change things. The NFL by design does do that.
Yeah, but you're also in the division that you're in.
Yeah, I know, but, I mean, what Jacksonville was 8-3 at one point last year. Like, let's not forget that. The Rams at 9, that's one I think is too high. I don't think you could put the Rams over the Cowboys. I think that's a joke. Eagles at 10. The Jets at 11. This is Pete Briscoe. The Jets at 11.
A-Rod.
The Jags at 12. They flopped midway through the season. They weren't ready to handle the challenge. Didn't help that Lawrence was hurt. They'll play Houston. They will push Houston in the division after a nice draft. And then coming in at number 13, down 7 spots, the Dallas Cowboys.
13.
Wow. The supposed all-in offseason has lived up to hype. They will essentially be the same group from a year ago, which means the same story. Pressure on Dak and Mike to win a few playoff games. Browns, Dolphins, Tampa, Bears at 17, Chargers at 18.
Where was Atlanta?
Atlanta was 20.
Oh, didn't hear a lot of Falcons love, and also didn't hear it from Choppy's boy Chris Russo on ESPN.
Now I got to read and hear that Cousins was perplexed and couldn't believe it, that he didn't draft somebody for immediate help, and they instead went for a backup quarterback. Who cares what Kirk Cousins thinks? You got $90 million guaranteed, and you've won one playoff game in your life. You know what you do with your Kirk Cousins? You get up to Atlanta as far as training camp is concerned. You play great football, and you make sure Penix can't play because you're playing so damn well. And I tell you something else you do. If you're such a great... If somebody walked into my radio station thinking that he was the heir apparent, you know what I do? I teach him everything about radio because he ain't going to be better than me.
How about that for a philosophy? The quarterback comes in that gets drafted. You teach him everything you know. Because you know who daddy is.
Right.
Sure.
That is the...
I 100% Russo actually believes that, and that's not just a line. I totally believe he's going, let me take you under my wing and show you all the tricks of this industry. Because historically, that's exactly how radio mentorship is working.
But that is an alpha dog philosophy, though, is it not?
Like you can't take my job.
You can't take my job. I'll teach you everything you need. You ain't gonna threaten me.
But
it never happens. Not realistic because of the money.
But more important to me, because it was my original take, is Russo saying, who's Kirk Cousins to – you don't have the right to have that reaction.
Right.
That was a devil's advocate question.
You said that.
If I'm Cousins, though, I'm ticked that you didn't get me win now. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. That's the thing.
That's what it's about.
I negotiated a certain contract with you and signed here with the expectation that – I was going to have certain resources committed to. Like, I'm sure part of the pitch to him was, look at these players we have in place. You're going to be a missing piece. Also, we have a top 10 pick this year. You're going to get an immediate plug-in.
Right.
I am certain they did not, like, because clearly he's not been told that Penix was part of the plan. And if he wasn't told Penix was part of the plan, I can't imagine he was just hands off, didn't have any expectation of what they were going to do in the draft. They probably told him, hey, this is part of the pitch. You're going to come here, and there's going to be resources given to you.
Let me ask this question. If Michael Penix ends up being Steve Young, he doesn't really play in Atlanta because Cousins is healthy. Let's say they lose two out of three NFC championship games, right? So they get far enough to where it justifies Penix not playing. Penix leaves. He's Steve Young, like Tampa to San Fran. Do we give Atlanta credit for the identification of a great player they couldn't let get by them?
Sure. I mean, they get absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Their philosophy.
We thought he was maybe a special Hall of Fame quarterback. We just couldn't get him on the field because we were in NFC title games.
You have to, as a general manager, I believe, both always plan for the now and tomorrow. Simultaneously, it's very difficult to do. And the easiest way to plan for tomorrow is to get an elite quarterback. It's the easiest way. And if you think Michael Penix is Steve Young, and you could take a short-term hit for 15 years of Steve Young, or in Penix's case, it'd be 6 years because he's 30 years old. Then you do it. Now, it may not help you today, but it'll help you tomorrow.
All right, our final Stone Temple Pilots ticket giveaway of the week, and RJ tries to fix Wyatt Langford. Plus, the junk drawer is I need some new daughter advice. Mike Florio at 8, all coming up on Sean and RJ.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Parker, the high hold and the pitch. Swing, and that one's ripped to left field, a base hit. Played on two hops by Winker. Duran scores from third. Carter stops at second. RBI single for Marcus Semien, and the Rangers have pushed three across here in the bottom of the second, and they lead 3-0.
This is the Expressway. We're commercial free on your home of the World Series champs here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. And since it's perfect weather out here, We got all the Tolos out here. Oh, my man. The Snake Wrangler here to confront RJ Choppy one-on-one. My man, Joseph.
Oh,
the exterminator guy, the pest control guy?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Snake fence expert, and we've been talking about you every day. We've been comparing notes and expertise about your knowledge of the Wild and his knowledge of the Wild. But my man Joe.
Good deal.
Yeah.
I like it.
And you're
like
and
it.
You're using him.
Yes, I am. He's coming over next week.
Excellent. Is that a slither I heard?
It's a hiss.
That's a hiss right there?
That's a rattlesnake.
That's a rattle.
You know what? We may have a surprise guest a little bit later on. May have a surprise guest. We're in a good mood. It's perfect weather. We're feeding you here with Palmer's Hot Chicken at Firehouse 3 in Garland. The junk drawer is coming up during the Expressway. Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com at 8. The Rangers, good news. They beat the Nationals in the series. Yesterday, shutout win 6-0. The bad news is that Nathan Eovaldi leaves with a groin. We'll see how serious that is. He's going to have an MRI today. And RJ, you're trying to figure out how to fix the phenom.
Yeah, it'd be nice. I wish I actually knew how to fix Wyatt Langford because he looked lost yesterday, and he has not looked great for the most part this year. There was a time where I was like, okay, maybe he's got, you know, he's figuring it out, and then here comes a 3-for-25 slump and 4 extra base hits since the start of April. I said it again, 4 extra base hits since the start of April. 3 strikeouts yesterday, looked overmatched. 2 of them were looking, and both times it was clear he was guessing, looking for something else. I don't know if it's in his head or what. He was looking for the fastball, got the splitter. And on the other one, he's looking for the, as they say, looking for the local, got the express. Right? He got the fastball. You can't take a fastball called strike 3. That means you're that, especially when you're just, it's clear you're looking for something else. We saw this at game 1, the opener of the season. He was looking away. He may have been looking for a fastball, but he was looking away, and they busted him inside. Called strike 3. Mm. And I don't know what you do about it. I mean, you want to send him down? Maybe you do that. When Mike Trout came up in his first year before his real rookie year, he came up for 40 games. He wasn't very good. He was doing kind of what Wyatt's doing right now. The next year he comes back, and he wins rookie of the year, and he should have won the MVP. Miguel Cabrera had a meaningless triple crown. Trout easily should have won it. Best player in the league that year. And the difference is that Trout took those 40 games and had a 4-month offseason. Wyatt Langford takes those 40 games, and he has to play tomorrow. And there's no going back to the drawing board. It's like, okay, I know what I got to do. Let's figure this out. Go in the offseason, another year of film, all the things. I don't know what you do. Do you want to send him down? If you want to send him down, great, fine, do it. Because he looks lost. You don't take – I can't remember the last time. Now, maybe I'm just following him more closely than everybody else because he's a phenom. I cannot remember a hitter of his talent taking more called strike threes over the course of a season in 40 games, or not even 40 games, than I have Wyatt Langford.
Because he was getting screwed.
Well, Angel screwed him over. That pitch was 6 inches outside
the plate. But there was a lot of strikes that – every week, the percentages were updated that he is he's getting strikes called against him that were outside of the zone. So it was showing he had a good eye because he wasn't swinging at balls. But 230 on the season, 1 home run, 11 runs, batted in. The OPS, Bob, is a 602.
He is, and I was just looking this up. So I know the other day Dave Schoenfield had written about all-stars through this point of the season, and he had some, like, keep an eye on at each position. He had Wyatt Langford still in there, and he was like, look, you're going to want to tap the brakes a little on the, like, rise to stardom. But he was still bullish on Langford because he said Langford hasn't looked overmatched yet. And if you look on Baseball Savant, which is MLB's analytics wing, his chase percentage, he's in the 77th percentile in Major League Baseball, which means he's not chasing stuff out of the zone like young hitters typically do. By comparison, Adolis Garcia is like 18th percentile, like to give you a frame of reference of where he's chasing. And his whiff percentage, just swing and miss, is 75th percentile in Major League Baseball. So he's good there. The problem is you go down the list, Chop, average exit velocity, 41st percentile in Major League Baseball. Barrel percentage, 49th percentile. Hard hit percentage, 47th percentile. Sweet spot percentage, 56th percentile. He is right barely around league average about all those peripheral statistics about, like, hitting the ball hard and barreling up the ball. It's just it's not clicking into place for him yet. The eye is good. The eye looks like
he's good. I'm on the phone with Cooperstown right now. I'm on the phone with him right now. Just get him in
like
there.
Like Stephen A. with the
bypass the rest of his career. We don't even need to see it. He's good. Just put him right in there. It's just like, I don't know. I don't know what the plan. They're having discussions. They have to. But I don't think the discussions are about sending him down. Well, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. He can't help you in the minor leagues. He also is not helping you today. And they tried to put him in left field. You know, he played left field yesterday. You know, it's not like they're just trying to DH him now, but I do think that is screwing him up. I do think that when he DHs and he's in a slump, especially as a young player, you're not feeling like you're actually helping because you can't. You can't help with your glove, and it doesn't impact your WAR. Now, WAR is a, you know, to the average fan, WAR is a meaningless stat. But, you know, like if you're playing the field every day, you know, you're gaining something there. Otherwise, you're a negative. Like his, I bet you his WAR is probably a negative right now for the year because it's just hitting for the most part.
Yeah, it is. Now, it's interesting.
That doesn't matter, but, you know.
It's interesting. You look at, like, again, they have the breakdown of just everything that he's hitting right now in terms of just various pitches. Against the against stuff breaking pitches this year, he's hitting 214. That's what's killing him right now. Off speed, he's hitting 286. Fastball, he's hitting 250. I mean, the slugging's got to come around. He's not mashing the ball in any respect. But right now, it's as it is, it feels like oftentimes for young hitters, it's just the breaking stuff is giving him problems right now. And you hope that clicks. You hope it comes to place. We got spoiled a little bit, I think, by just how ready Evan Carter was when he got up here. And just how he was up here and ready to immediately contribute, set the major league record for doubles in a playoff run. And then obviously he had the slow start to begin this year, but I think we got spoiled a little bit on that expectation. And honestly, we contributed to the expectation too.
Sure.
Of just like, hey, this guy, he's hit at every single level. Why wouldn't he hit here?
That's why Chavi got mad at the hype.
He got mad
at the spring training hype when he was Babe Ruth.
It is the very first, like if you look since his college years, it's the very first bit of like real struggle that he's hit. And you know, that's probably going to take a period of adjustment.
Baseball finally fixed the uniforms.
Oh, they did. They admitted a fault. Surprisingly, no. Most people don't admit faults. I know I don't. But baseball admitted a fault with the jerseys, and they are changing them. They are going to change. It's not going to take place right away, but they are going to change out the jerseys because these things are terrible. And the problem with the uniforms has been like, obviously, you see players where it looks like they're carrying grapes in the wrong place because you could see through the jersey. You have guys bending over, and it looks like you're looking at a billy goat from behind, okay? Like, because they're not wearing any pit. It's terrible. You can see through them. They're sweating through them. Pit stains everywhere. I mean, their pit stains are worse than Bobby's. So now they're going to change it back to what they had. Thank goodness. I don't need to see the shirts tucked in the pants. I don't need to see sweat stains. I don't need to see the outline of your you-know-whats. It's been 150 years the uniforms are the same. And now they changed them. Thankfully, they're changing it back.
Since when have you ever said you don't need to see the outline of the you-know-what?
Well, I don't need to see it when you're bending over.
Oh, okay.
If it's just a bulge, I'm like, yeah, that's cool. But I don't need to see it. Just that, you know, I've seen more moose knuckle in the last 45 days than in my entire life.
All right. We had, by the way, this is really interesting. When Eric would go in there and ask guys, Eric Chiafalo would ask guys in the clubhouse about this, there were a lot of them that were just oddly, like, did not want to say anything on the
Nike,
record
they probably
about
have
it.
Nike deals.
Yeah,
right?
they were just like, yep, I got nothing to say about it. You can ask somebody else.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mike Florio coming up at 8 o'clock from Pro Football Talk to talk about the DAC legal news. But right now, we got to clean up everything in the junk drawer.
Did you know that Benjamin Franklin invented the junk drawer?
Junk it!
These are all the leftovers from the week, but more often than not, it could be the best segment because it is absolutely wheels off here on Sean and RJ, Garland Firehouse 3, 1301 North Jupiter Road. Palmer is walking around taking chicken. He's specifying your chicken spice for the chicken, waffles, and cheese grits that is about to come out of that truck. So stop on by and get a Zeke autograph helmet, a Zach Martin autograph football, and breakfast from Palmer's Hot Chicken.
It is a great bird. It's a fantastic bird.
It's awesome food. He's always getting on me. Oh, you don't like this and you don't like that. I'm like, dude, it's fantastic.
You're the pimento, pimento cheese. You like that?
Love pimento cheese. He adds pimento cheese on the chicken sandwich,
yeah,
which I have not seen done.
The sides are fantastic
there. They have a great kids area out front if you want to go ahead and take the little ones there to run around. And I think he was just on one of my all-time favorite shows. If you love food, it's one of your all-time favorite shows, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. I think Guy Fieri went up to Palmer's.
Yeah, it was. I think it was his location in Sea Island, Georgia, where they host. There's a golf tournament out there. Big. I think it's the RMS Classic out at Sea Island, and it's. That is where he got the start, and then he was always a Cowboy fan. That's how I met him through Twitter.
Yeah,
and he got us on a golf course in just outside of Augusta called Sage Valley. And that's been knowing him ever since.
All right, I want to bring in one of the stars of the week of the radio station and the morning show. His name is Joseph Hicks. He's a big-time Tolo, and he is the one putting up my snake fence.
Okay, a lot of fence line.
A lot of fence.
So it's about 517 feet of fence, to be exact. But he's like, yo, man, can't guarantee anything, but we've been dealing with copperheads. We found a big rat snake. And the Tolos are so evil and so selfish that they wanted me to find another venomous snake with my little child and my family coming in town just to guarantee a Dallas Stars victory. So, Joe, it didn't happen, but you've been out there at the Shreef residence. How big of a problem do we have? How big of an issue? And make sure you speak up like you do when you're over at the house, because people want to know what's happening in your life every day at my home.
A lot of mud.
That's a separate issue, Joe.
It is Swamp Sharif in your backyard.
Swamp Sharif.
That's an HOA issue, Joe.
you're used to the desert, very arid climate. And
wait, is that Indian, Joe?
No, it's Texas.
Wow. All right. So people like RJ have been laughing at me for mountain lion pee that I purchased.
Snake. That's a little over the top.
A little over the top?
So good.
Okay, if I use the mountain lion pee because I'm waiting for clearance with no rain, will I draw a mountain lion?
No.
No?
No.
Are there other type of cats?
Of the 58, 50-year-old cougar.
Oh,
there you go. Get you a cougar.
Get you a cougar out there, and then the snake aways. Does that type of stuff actually help?
I don't
sulfur.
I don't promote it because of the smell. You have to put it down at least weekly.
Uh-huh.
Every time it rains, you got to put it down.
Yeah.
So I always say, let's do prevention. Let's do some exclusion work. Let's put up a fence.
Yeah.
Let's do stuff like that.
Now, Choppy's been making fun of me along with others, saying, you know, snakes can climb. So I got this 3-foot fence. I'm feeling great about it. But people are mocking me, saying I'm wasting my time. What do you say back to those people?
Typically, venomous snakes won't climb. I know copperheads will, climb a bush or a tree going after cicadas.
Yeah.
But they're not going to kamikaze you off a tree.
Okay.
They're not going to come down.
They're not going to drop right
They're not going to drop down and go, hey, what's up?
Yeah. And then we found a rat snake the other day, too.
Yes.
And I don't want you to say this to me anymore, Joe. When you show me the rat snake skin that has shed to become bigger, and you're like, yeah, but these are good.
These are good.
They're
great snakes.
Joe, no. No good.
Yes.
No good for
Not
anything
all snakes are bad.
Slithering. No, do you have a phobia of anything?
No.
Okay. Well, the rest of us do.
We need to get him a nice indigo back there. That'll just eat up all
the
snakes.
They eat up all the
Okay,
snakes,
so. Owl, feral cat. What did you tell me in the garage the other day?
The owl. Yeah, the
mongoose.
The mongoose. Get yourself a mongoose.
A mongoose?
Yeah.
So
that's just a mean ferret.
These are the things that are taking place out there.
Yeah, but typically venomous snakes they won't climb. So the fence they don't need the muscle structure like a rat snake has. You know, rat snakes constrict. That's how they climb. They have the muscle pattern to move up fences or move up walls, stuff like that.
Do you mind real quick saying what you told me about? I know you don't like to brag or anything, but about your Army history, your service history.
So I tell people all the time, I'm a former Army Ranger sniper. I served 2 tours of Iraq. I was in the 4ID, and I was there when we caught Saddam Hussein.
Oh, wow.
I was about 25 feet away from him. So But, yeah, so I tell people all the time, you know, I can't kill terrorists no more, so I come and kill pest terrorists in people's homes.
There it is.
So knowing you were 25 feet away from...
Dig the hat, by the way. I'm
wearing my
Keller LaCrosse
hat. Thank you. Keller, there we go.
Go Keller LaCrosse.
Does it just make you ill, though, as somebody who stood 25 feet away from Saddam Hussein, that he's like, rat snakes, can you please come remove these from my yard? Like, does it just make you go like, my gosh?
No. I mean,
they look like boa constrictors.
I do pest control for a reason. I like to help the community. I like to help people out for things. You know, like I say, I can't defend the country no more. You know, I got thank you for for my knees. Thank you, Army, my back. I want to serve. I want to do something for the community, and I just fell in love with pest control about 14 years ago.
And you're a big Tolo.
Big Tolo. I've been listening to y'all since 2010. So even before y'all came on board, I was listening. So
you want to say anything personal to Choppy?
See you Wednesday.
See you Wednesday.
Can you give me all the expertise? I'll sit down. I'll listen. All the knowledge. I mean,
Wednesday.
We all have PhDs in Google, so I'm looking forward to the visit. You and Giafalo.
Thank you, Joe.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Fantastic. There is Tolo Joseph Hicks with the snake fence, which I hope my dad's not hearing in the car. Hopefully, they're not there on their way over here right now with little man. All right. This is the Expressway. We are commercial free. I'm about to be off for a couple weeks.
Yeah. You got a child on the way.
I got a child on the way. Little daughter on Monday. So we will be a family of four. Part of the reason, want to get these copperheads out of the backyard. So I have basically a four-year-old and then the new daughter on Monday. And, Bobby, I know that you are anticipating and looking forward to the possible changes to me as a person.
Oh, yeah. No, this will be something that I'm going to actively call it out every time I see it, where I'm going to be like, there it is. There's a shift. Anytime on the air where I see a shift in Sean philosophy, when it's like, I'm sure it'll show up like, for instance, like next playoff run, right? Like Sean will probably be like, Luka really has been like, he's been expending a lot of energy and like, inflammation is not something to play with in your knee and blah, blah, blah. Like you're going to see a more sympathetic version of Sean Sharif. He's going to have a more caring heart after having a baby girl. And that's what I anticipate is going to happen. And every time I see it, I'm going to say, there's girl dad. That's girl dad effect right there. And so I'm going to look for it and call it out routinely over the next year.
I don't know. I wonder how long it'll take because, like, I don't know that, like, you're – I don't have a girl. I produce men.
Uh-huh.
male heirs.
The king only sires heirs. Yeah.
I only sire heirs. but when although I was estrus. With some girls who looked like they could sire Seabiscuit. I don't think the girl dad effect takes place right away, does it?
It does. It's not the full effect. It's as they get older.
The full effect is they get older and you're like,
yeah,
get it softened on them, right?
It's a process. It's a process. But, I mean, like, you're going to, I think, instantly, there's just a, like the same sort of, like, oh, my gosh, this is a little baby.
Yeah.
Like, it's amplified by, well, this is a baby, like, girl. Like, I don't know. It's something in your brain just kind of triggers a little bit where you're like, they need even more protection. Like, it's something that just clicks into place, I think.
You assume he's going to hold this child.
Yeah.
A diaper.
I'm not Bobby, okay? I have 50-50.
No, you're right.
40-60 parenting.
You're right. You're not Bobby. So you don't have the hands to necessarily hold an infant, so I understand that. Like, I mean, like, let's be honest here. But here's the thing is that, to me, I actually think the girl dad effect would be stronger on Choppy. Like, if Choppy would have had girls, I think we would have seen a more radical shift. I do think we're going to see stuff in Sean, but I think it's going to be a little more subtle. And you'll notice it just kind of slowly over time. It's going to be like, the Colorado River just slowly cutting the Grand Canyon. And they're going to be like, well, look how different this is.
Very nervous about the wiping because this is supposed to be an opposite wipe, apparently. Want to dodge infection. I've totally forgot all the little baby tricks of the trade of the brisket wrap.
The swaddling?
The swaddling.
Brisket wrap.
Yeah.
I don't think
my
it's
gosh.
A brisket wrap.
The swaddling.
4 years of having a kid. He's still referring to children by his, like, brisket braid. Maybe there's not going to be a change. Maybe
oh, look
back.
At this. This is a choice diaper here. Oh, wow. This is fantastic.
It's a select diaper.
Look at the ring there.
I don't remember the sleep patterns and all that type of stuff. Burping, I know, after drinking the milk, but I have RJ'd that, and I've compartmentalized it, and I put that in an old
old part of my life.
Well, I know nothing about it. I don't remember anything.
I know.
I remember nothing.
And I'm not looking forward to the drive home when you act like
oh, yeah.
there's a bomb in the back. Mm-hmm. And any little bump, she thinks you're hitting on purpose.
The sleep pattern is going to be different because Addison and Laura were completely different. Laura woke up all night, every hour, like the entire first year. Addison was generally one time a night, and there were some nights early on where she was sleeping. Like I mean, after like 8 months, she was like sleeping through the night. So it kind of depends on the temperament of the kid.
I'm excited for Ollie to have a little sister, but I'm a little bit nervous about the jealousy factor. I don't know.
Is he excited?
Yes, he's super excited. But I don't know. He loves to stick his nose in everyone's business, as you're going to find out here about 9:15. Let me see. And, you know, I'm trying to be cognizant of keeping the attention on him so it's not all going to the new thing.
Right, the new thing. Yeah, that's the tough part. Now, do you have everything like
the beef rib?
Because that is one thing, because there's a lot of times you see regression in kids, like the older one.
Really?
Like you'll see, like, if they're potty trained. They'll go back to being unpotty trained.
What?
Because it's some kids want the baby.
I'll be interested. I wonder if Ollie, though, is going to find his attention in the baby. Like, if he's going to be so, like, enamored with, like, I'm the brother or whatever else, that he's, like, that's how he's getting his attention is by just being locked in with the baby.
Hopefully. Hopefully they just.
You got the car seat already?
Entertain each other. Oh, no, I need these.
Did you have to get a new car seat?
I need these firefighters for that, too.
The installation?
Yeah.
No.
Nightmare.
I mean, I'll do it for you.
Can you do
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
I don't know if I would trust you.
I'm the second oldest of nine, and I had like three siblings under six when my mom died. I practically raised three of my siblings, and I've raised three children. I'm on kid number six, basically.
We heard you talking about how miserable you were one day of parenting with Kristen sick. 48 hours ago, you were miserable. You're like, I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah, I don't want to be like.
So you're not Bob Saget over here.
I'm going to lean into. Yeah, that's true. I'm not Bob Saget.
Actually,
I am alive.
I forgot
about it.
Sorry.
What? I say about my mom all the time. We're good. But I say about Bob Saget.
Oh, so you can talk about all dead people now. You have a green light to talk about all the deceased. Go ahead. Yeah.
So, look, we laugh so we don't cry. It's the way he would have wanted it. He had a dark sense of humor, Bob Saget.
All right. So, little girl is coming on Monday, so wish me the best of luck. I'll get tips from Wolchuk. 877-881-1053. Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line. Where would you like to take it in the junk drawer, RJ Choppy?
Oh, man. You know what? Let's do one of my favorite subjects, adult entertainment.
Oh, okay. Good morning, kids.
a Thai politician was suspended for her role after her husband caught her with her stepson. And this is one of the reasons why I've had to stop partaking in step-parent activities. Because I have a fiance who's about to be a stepmom
for
my kids. So it's just a little bit weird for me.
Yeah.
But as luck would have it, the stepson happens to be a monk. Okay?
Oh.
And her name is, wait for it, Propa Porn.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. Yeah. That's her name.
I'm sure that's her real name.
It is. Propa Porn.
Yeah.
Chola
like Peppa Pig.
Dotko.
The Triple X Peppa Pig.
Embroiled in a scandalous affair with her adopted son, her stepson, Pramaha, leading to her suspension from public office in Thailand. Widespread attention across the social media platforms. Her husband caught her and filmed her partaking in this rancid activity with her stepson.
Mm. What are monks,
in a monk's cabin.
What's the life of a monk supposed to be?
I think they make wine.
What do you got?
Is that what they do?
That's how they develop champagne.
Franciscan
monks found they were trying to make wine. They carbonated somehow. And
are
bam.
You being for real?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Ask Bennett Glazer.
That's what they said in The Rock, the movie. So Nicolas Cage said it, so I assume it's true.
Okay.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage is generally where I get all of my information on monk-related activities. Do you know what a lost wave is, gentlemen?
Lost wave?
A lost wave. Do you know what those are?
Okay, I have no
lost
idea.
Waves are basically these viral internet sensations like music where somebody goes like, hey, can somebody identify this song? And you start going like, this is clearly a produced song that nobody can identify. And it creates this whole like internet mystery. So for the last 3 years, there has been this internet mystery around this song that some people call Everyone Knows That. Some people call Ulterior Motives. Somebody posted 3 years ago on Reddit a picture of a boombox and playing just a 17-second snippet of a song and said, does anybody know what this is? And it drove the internet crazy. And Peyton's actually got the snippet of the song here. It sounds very, it's vaguely familiar. And people were trying to figure out, okay, is this like a, is this like a European song or something? And that's why we can't track it down. Why doesn't Shazam or anything else figure it out? The mystery after 3 years, and this was one of the most viral, like, what song is this? Because it's clearly been produced. The mystery has been solved.
Oh, no.
And oddly enough, it kind of intersects with Choppy's story. As it turns out, this song was from a 1986 adult film. And Reddit had uncovered, somebody on Reddit has uncovered it and put in, it was produced by a music producer for the adult film industry in the 1980s. And this snippet, which now makes you wonder, where did you get this snippet? Who was it? Because the guy had claimed who posted it on the internet, he said he got it from his sister. What was your sister like? What was she looking at? How did she come across this 1986 just like mustachioed adult film?
I feel like that was the golden era.
This is something that, like, when you hear it, it's like, yeah, that sounds like a general 80s song. It sounds like Wang Chung or something.
Sure.
And yeah, it was Wang Chung for sure. And it was, as it turned out, from an adult film.
We have another whistleblower incident.
As luck would have it, Boeing, one of the at one point great American companies, continuing their slide. Josh Dean was a quality auditor at Boeing supplier Spirit AeroSystems and a whistleblower who alleged the leadership had ignored manufacturing defects of the 737 MAX. Well, as luck would have it, Sean, Josh Dean died this week after a mysterious struggle against a sudden, fast-spreading infection. He was 45 years old. He was in good health, noted for having a healthy lifestyle. He dies after 2 weeks after having this mysterious infection. This is 2 months after.
Did he eat a bat?
I don't know. This is 2 months after the initial whistleblower died in his car outside of a hotel the day he was testifying against Boeing in this deposition.
And what was his cause of death?
Was it a gunshot, a single gunshot wound? I don't remember what the cause of death was.
So there wasn't even any, they weren't even trying to mess around with covering that one up. It's like, no, that's going to be a gunshot.
Right, so it's like, okay, these two guys, the two whistleblowers here, and this guy was, I mean, Spirit fired him in April of last year. He had filed a complaint with the Department of Labor alleging his termination was in retaliation for raising concerns related to safety. So these two whistleblowers, they're dead.
And this is something where, like, I mean, the fact that you had mentioned, we are not on a Boeing heading out to California this summer, right?
No, we are not. We are on
an Airbus. That's like the old, if it ain't Boeing, I ain't going. Like, that's
so are we all dumb. Totally believing? Are we going to be, is this conspiracy thinking? Or we all believe, no, this is intentional.
I don't envision a pair of whistleblowers just up and dying out of nowhere. Like, that seems a little bit, especially when there's been so much secrecy coming from the Boeing side. And then, of course, like they get government contracts and everything. It's just, it makes too much sense that this is not coincidence.
Dak Prescott gets good legal news. Is he about to get good contract news? Mike Florio, attorney and NFL insider from Pro Football Talk, joins us live next.